The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here in The Big Lead. We're going to finish out this hour, and then I'll head down to CenturyLink Field. Seahawks and the Denver Broncos. The 2019 season begins right here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. I will host our pregame coverage starting at 5 o'clock. And then Steve Rabel has the kickoff at 7 o'clock. So that's coming up this afternoon and evening here on Cairo Radio. Okay, before I get to all the big lead stories, I have to finish. I was talking about just how the left in the media has lost their collective minds. And Stephanie Ruhle is an anchor on MSNBC. So I was playing the start of the soundbite, but I want you to hear the end of it. So she's a big fan of Beto O'Rourke. By the way, he was Beto, everybody thought. And then we all got corrected. And they said, no, it's not Beto, it's Beto. And now everybody's calling him Beto again, and including all the other Democratic candidates. So I don't know what to call the man anymore. But she's a huge fan, and he's down at 1% in the polling. And remember, when he burst on the scene and Vanity Fair put him on the cover, and this is his destiny to be president, and he's good-looking like a Kennedy, and people were just drooling over the guy. And then everyone recognized, well, he's just an empty suit. But she is still holding out hope, this MSNBC anchor Stephanie Ruhle.
Yeah, Beto O'Rourke, who's from El Paso, has been very forceful. He dropped an F-bomb with reporters yesterday. And I want to share what he told Chris Hayes.
Is that what qualifies as forceful these days? Dropped an F-bomb with reporters.
Last night.
Okay, it is so that hatred in which the president traffics, the racism that he promotes.
Yeah, then she plays the soundbite with Beto. Where he calls Trump a white supremacist. But then listen to what this ghoul of an MSNBC anchor says coming out of the soundbite from O'Rourke.
Mexican immigrants as rapists and criminals. He did not only welcome violence against them, he literally sent U.S. service members, thousands of them, to the border.
Maria, Beto has said he is running in the name of decency and democracy. As bad as this may sound, could this moment be a chance for Beto to gain some momentum?
Oh, yeah, maybe the mass shooting will revive his flagging presidential aspirations. These are sick, sick, twisted people. She is wondering if a mass shooting is going to revive his, he has no shot. But he called Trump a white supremacist. So that gets him airtime. But what a ghoulish comment that, hoping the mass shooting can help a candidate who's otherwise not doing very well.
Maria, Beto has said he is running in the name of decency and democracy. As bad as this may sound, could this moment be a chance for Beto to gain some momentum?
You know, if you have to precede something with as bad as this may sound, maybe it's something that actually sounds really bad. And it just reveals the twisted mind of the person who's saying it. And with that as mere prelude, let's get to the big lead.
The big lead. Top story.
Seattle City Councilwoman Lorena Gonzalez this morning announced that she is going to run for Attorney General of the state. Yes, we want to spread what Seattle has been able to accomplish the last couple of years. We want to spread that statewide. I know. Drug use, heroin use everywhere, needles laying in our parks and our school playgrounds, homeless people, tarps everywhere. Crime is hitting, decades lasting highs. And these people on the Seattle City Council think that they want to spread all of their wondrous accomplishments to the state like a virus. So Lorena Gonzalez, she released her campaign ad for Attorney General this morning. And I will tell you, and you're not going to hear this analysis anywhere else, but this is an example of exactly what's wrong with politics in this region.
I was very young when I saw a man, a farm worker in the cherry orchards where I worked with my family. He'd been beaten so badly by the owner that he could barely move. I decided that day that if I ever get off these farms, my mission would be to stand up for those who can't do it for themselves. That mission took me from Grandview High to WSU in Pullman to law school at Seattle U, where I became a civil rights attorney. And my first case was standing up for the children of migrant farm workers. Children who had been locked in a classroom by a principal who told them, "You will all end up losers like your farm worker parents." Well, I took on that principal. I took on that school district, and we won. But as I looked around and saw the challenges people face every day, I knew the best way for me to stand up for them was to be in an office where I could do the most good for the most people. And so I ran for Seattle City Council, where I've stood up for paid family leave, victims of abuse and sexual assault, LGBTQ rights, and police reform. Now I'm running for Attorney General.
Okay. So, and obviously that's notable that she, you know, grew up, you know, the child of farm workers and, you know, became an attorney, has run for Seattle City Council. That's a great life story. It is. But what's the biggest problem? I've said that Bob Ferguson, our current attorney general, is the most dangerous politician I have ever seen in my quarter century on the air here locally. Because Bob Ferguson has weaponized the attorney general's office. He has used that office to go after anybody, everybody, who is, in his perception, center or right of center. And he also uses the attorney general's office as a protection racket for the political and social left. So, when Seattle tries to pass an income tax that is clearly in violation of our state constitution, Bob Ferguson's job as a representative of us, the people, would have been, as his predecessor, Rob McKenna, did. Rob McKenna issued from the attorney general the decision that the income tax was patently unconstitutional. Bob Ferguson could have done the same thing, but his political aspirations were more important to him than his job that the voters foolishly entrusted him with. And Bob Ferguson didn't want to say anything about an income tax that could get him in trouble with the left that wants to, you know, he needs to become governor, which he views as his destiny. And so Bob Ferguson does not run the state's highest legal office according to the law or the Constitution. He runs it according to his political aspirations, and by targeting florists in the Tri-Cities, trying to destroy their lives, and offering a protection racket to Sound Transit, the most criminally corrupt public agency in our nation's history, to the income tax pursuers. He gives them legal cover. For Lorena Gonzalez, she has already told us she wants to be attorney general so that she can provide social justice. And she named the groups, you know, to the farm workers and the LGBTQ community and, you know, everything else she named there. That's not the job of the attorney general. Your job is not to be a social justice warrior. Your job is to be someone who upholds our state constitution and follows the laws. But Bob Ferguson doesn't do that. Lorena Gonzalez does not intend to do that. She wants to use that office so that she can pursue her social justice mission. And that's not what an attorney general is supposed to do. You're supposed to uphold the law, and you're supposed to treat everybody equally. And that doesn't sound like what she intends. She has favored groups, and it certainly is not what Bob Ferguson has done. It's just another example of everything that's wrong with our political system around here. Next up in the big lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Yeah, this was a great tip from a listener, a mom in Issaquah, who the Issaquah schools have just caved in to this ridiculous, politically correct, all of our children have to be, you know, protected from anything that's competitive. And so she told me, have you seen or heard about the graduation adornments for the Issaquah schools? And then she sent me the flyer that the Issaquah schools have sent out to the parents. Let me read this to you. We wanted to take the opportunity to update everyone on the graduation committee's decision regarding graduation adornment for the class of 2020 and beyond. Our principal sent out a message to students and families regarding the discussions and decisions around graduation honors and adornments, such as the removal of class rank and the addition of honor stoles and cords for achievements related to GPA and participation in clubs and sports. Our best efforts are to ensure that all students felt honored and recognized at graduation for their various achievements. We came to realize that the addition of the various cords and stoles created added feelings of pressure and stress for our students. And so they're not going to rank students by GPA because it puts too much pressure on kids. They're not going to allow the high-achieving kids who, you know, have made honor society. They're not going to allow them to have an adornment on their graduation outfit because it will make them look special. And it might make the other kids, maybe the kids who didn't work as hard at school, kids who didn't earn the same high honor, they might feel bad if they see their classmates being recognized. You compete in sports or music, drama. You used to get an adornment for your robe for that. Well, no more. Because the kids who, you know, just sit around playing video games every day, they might feel bad if their classmates are being recognized for their participation. It's just insanity. Their last paragraph of this long message. So let's see. We have decided there are more appropriate venues than the graduation ceremony to celebrate individual accomplishments. And moving forward, cords and stoles will no longer be offered or allowed at the graduation ceremony. We hope these changes will help us meet our goal of ensuring all students feel recognized and honored for all they have achieved over their high school career. But we're not going to honor the kids who achieve the most, because that's going to make other kids feel bad. What a pathetic approach. What a pathetic groundwork or foundation for life. That we're telling, but you know, we're hearing that from all the Democrat presidential candidates. You know, the Green New Deal. You know, we'll provide a basic income for people unwilling to work. That's from, you know, high school on. That's the message. We'll tax the guy who works really hard and give you his money. That way you won't have to work hard. It might make you feel bad that the hardest workers have more in life than you. So we'll take the stuff from the hardest workers and we'll give it to the people who don't want to work hard. Vote for me. And this is the attitude in our high schools now. This is the attitude our kids are being taught. We won't recognize achievement because it'll make the lower achievers feel bad. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Yeah, another exclusive. I talked a couple of hours ago with a guy named Stuart. He and his wife own the Yakima Fruit Market out in Bothell. You've seen it. It's been there for 81 years. and they find out from Sound Transit that Sound Transit wants to take away their building, take away their parking lot, take away their livelihood. What's going on with Sound Transit, Stuart?
We had a meeting, a meet and greet, if you will, although I wasn't as greeting as I probably should have been. There was a three of them came out, and they had a rough sketch of their plans. Well, we'd already seen the survey marks on the highway, and my son and I kind of analyzed what we saw, which was, oh, they're taking away the front of our building. So before they got there, we had a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I presented what I believe was going to happen based on a rough sketch that they had mailed to us. And I got a lot of no response. I would say, well, it looks to me like you're chopping off the front of my building, taking away all of our parking. And when I get zero response from someone, I kind of know what that means. Well, if I say anything back, it's not going to be what he wants to hear, so we'll just say nothing.
Right.
And sort of let our heads bobble. So there was a lot of head bobbling and not a lot of answers directly.
And he wanted, you know, his kids are working the business now. His grandkids are starting to help out there. And Sound Transit, because they want to put in a bus lane. They want to blow out an 81-year legacy family business. What is it like, Stuart, when government treats you like the enemy instead of the economic engine that small businesses are for our region and every other?
Well, it's this, you feel this been kicked in the gut, like, and I have got an attorney online now, and he just said, well, we'll just try to maximize the dollars you get out of it. But he basically said, you're going to lose. And it's just overwhelming. It, you know, we had plans for our grandchildren taking it over. Our children are in place to take it over. And it's our legacy, and our legacy is getting ripped out from underneath us.
I mean, I could just hear what was in his voice as he was telling me this. When you were talking about losing your legacy, what you wanted to hand down to your kids and your grandkids, I really did hear a genuine sadness in your voice. I mean, it's pretty palpable, it seems.
It's overwhelming. I mean, I've cried. It's not something that I take. I mean, it's been my entire life, my wife's entire life, our children's entire life, and it's all just being ripped away in a way that feels not like the democracy I was raised in. I mean, it doesn't feel like we have a fighting chance. And we're going to fight. I mean, we will fight as hard as we can. People have said, well, Dick's got away with it when they were. And I said, yeah, it's a little different story. They had a true alternative there.
Right.
The alternative for us is don't do it at all. And that wasn't a I presented that to the three that came here to meet us. And there was no response to that, but they said, well, it's the people's mandate.
Yeah.
And I just smiled and thought, yeah, there you go, whatever.
Yeah, Sound Transit, it's horrible what they're doing to lives. And, you know, Sound Transit wants to, out in Lake Forest Park, they want to destroy what has been a wonderful community there. They want to fundamentally destroy Lake Forest Park and that whole corridor. What an agency. What horrible, horrible, horrible people running Sound Transit. That is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, we're going to check the news for you. And then Nicole tells me we have some brand new Jay Inslee audio that I haven't even heard yet. You and I will hear it together for the first time as part of our awesome audio coming up.
This hour of the Dory Monson Show.
Crying out loud.
It just dawned on me. Well, that's another little birthday gift.
Yes. Happy birthday to Ursula today. Yes, we will be back on the air 5 o'clock this afternoon for Seahawks pregame coverage. I'll be on at halftime, and then after the game, we'll take you deep into the Seattle summer night with our postgame coverage. But we still got a show to do here. It's that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, number three, Joe Biden was, you know, everybody's got to talk about white supremacy. That's the memo that went out among the Democrat Party and the leftist networks. Everything's white supremacy, because that's finally the thing that's going to bring down this president. So Joe Biden, he talked about it, but he got a little too caught up in his words.
Number three.
Both clear language and in code, this president has fanned the flames of white supremacy in this nation. His low energy, vacant-eyed mouthing of the words written for him, condemning white supremacists this week, I don't believe fooled anyone at home or abroad. His energetic embrace, the energetic embrace of this president by the darkest hearts and the most hate-filled minds in this country say it all.
I just love that.
His energetic embrace, the energetic embrace of this president.
Of this president. Oh, Joe. Okay, number two in our awesome audio. This is brand new. I haven't even heard this yet. You're going to hear it for the first time, as am I. So Jay Inslee was just on MSNBC. And as we told you, there's a new poll out this week. 500 Democrat voters in New Hampshire. Who's your pick for president? Not one out of 500, zero, said Jay Inslee. But costing the taxpayers of this state millions and millions of dollars, he is still going on MSNBC. He's still trying to run for president. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, okay, he said that we need action in America.
Number two.
So we need a full-throated national comprehensive attack on white nationalism, and the Congress ought to come through. We got to make sure people understand this is a public health crisis, not just a public relations crisis for the Republican Party, and we got to have real action, not soft soap here in the next few days.
I thought it was all about climate change. Now it's white nationalism is his big. He's jumping on that bandwagon now. And boy, I tell you, when Jay Inslee gets on a bandwagon, he gets on with both feet.
A week ago, I correctly identified him as a white nationalist and said that white nationalism does not belong in the White House. 3 days later, we had this horrendous violence. And the reason that's so painful is that we know that the product of racist rhetoric is racist violence.
Okay, and again, I'll ask the question of Jay Inslee and any of these other whack jobs on the left. So who's responsible for the mass murder in America last night, where the Hispanic guy stabbed four Hispanic people to death? Who do we pin that one on? I know. Doesn't have the gun issue. You can't blame Trump for that one. Or maybe you can. Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, the Dayton, Ohio shooter, was huge fans of them. Did Bernie and Liz, did they cause that mass shooting? Who are we blaming the mass slaughter last night on? They're all silent about that.
Look, I confronted him on gun violence a year ago in the White House. I went to the White House for a national governor's meeting, and all these other governors were toadying up to him because he, you know, his plan was to arm first grade teachers. And I told him that was a ridiculous idea.
Yeah.
And kind of scolded him and told him, look, you got to quit tweeting and start listening to educators. Now we need people to stand up again and pass a real assault weapons ban. I voted for that in 1994. I lost my seat over that, but it was the right vote then, and it is the right vote now.
Just the fact that he's still running for president is it's just, you gotta laugh, but it's costing us millions and millions of dollars. It's crazy. Oprah, I agree with Oprah. What'll stop these shootings?
Number one.
I think what people are missing is a core moral center. Churches used to do that. It was a central place you could come to, and there was a core center of values about a way of living and a way of being in the world. So until we can return to that, however that is, in whatever form, we will continue to be lost. That's why I actually believe storytelling is a form of a new religion, because it's the place where people can gather and be inspired and see themselves and get filled.
We've lost our moral center the churches used to provide. I'm with Oprah on that. That's your favorite sound bites of the day. Today's sign is next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And after a show this good, we'd best finish strong with today's edition of...
Today's sign that the end is near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to end. Let's start in Washington, D.C. It is our nation's capital. I got a message for Jeff Bezos. Jeff, I know you're a busy man. You're running Amazon. You got the hot new girlfriend. I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on in your life. But maybe you need to start paying a little closer attention to your newspaper, the Washington Post. Washington Post, very left-leaning, but man, in political halls of power, it is still considered to be the newspaper of record. Well, the Washington Post ran a story on July 23rd. It was a story about black families struggling to keep their southern farmland. The Post just had to run this correction for that story. Their executive editor said, "We are embarrassed by the widespread errors in this freelance article. We have published a detailed correction of each error and updated the story based on re-reporting by Post staff." And then they listed the 15 corrections that they had to make for one story. 15! It's like the whole thing was just made up. Okay, here's some. I don't have time to read all of the corrections, but here are a few of them. The first name of Emmanuel Freeman Sr. was misspelled. Contrary to what was reported in the initial article, Freeman Sr.'s grandson, Johnny, did not refuse to move off a Halifax, Virginia sidewalk for a white woman. The number of children Freeman had with his second wife, Rebecca, was 8, not 10. The partition sale of the Freeman estate was in 2016, not 2018. It included 360 acres of the original 1,000, not 30 acres of the original 99. this is really funny. Let's see. Some of them are legal things that are just too long to read. Tashi Terry said, "Welcome to Bell Terry Lane," not "Welcome to Bell Terry Farm." Aubrey Terry did not buy 170 acres with his siblings in 1963. His parents bought 150 acres in 1961. The eldest Terry brother died in 2011, not 2015. Oh, I'm guessing this freelance writer isn't going to get a lot more gigs from the Washington Post. But 15 corrections for one story, that's got to be close to a record. All right, next up in today's sign. Actress Rosanna Arquette is one of those leftists who simply has lost her mind. Rosanna Arquette just went on Twitter yesterday to apologize for her white skin. She wrote, "I'm sorry I was born white and privileged. It disgusts me, and I feel so much shame." Rosanna Arquette, she was in Desperately Seeking Susan with Madonna, who's also white. She was in Pulp Fiction, Crash. She had a role on Malcolm in the Middle on TV. But the new fad is, white supremacy. Every white person should feel guilty and ashamed and horrible about something they had no control over. Especially since that's become the big, everybody in the media is screaming. You rarely heard about white supremacy a month ago. And now it's all everybody's talking about. It just becomes a fad where everyone in the media, they get their talking points because the media is controlled by the Democrat Party and vice versa. They are colluding to try to run the country. And since they lost this last election, they are simply going insane. But to say that you're... What a life. What a life. To be ashamed that you were born white. As I said, you have no control over that. You have a lot of control over how you live your life, how you treat other people. You have no control over your skin color. Unless you're Rachel Dolezal. She had some control, apparently. But that's just another example of how the left has lost its collective mind. And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. I got to get out of here. But I have not said everything that I have to say for today. And that's because I'm going to hop in my buggy, head on down to CenturyLink Field. And the Seahawks are going to kick off this 2019 season with a home game against the Denver Broncos. You will hear it right here on your home of the Seattle Seahawks, 97.3 Cairo FM. Game starts at 7. I will be on the air hosting our pregame coverage along with Paul Moyer, Michael Bumpus, Ray Roberts. They will all join me as we get you ready for another season of Seahawks football. So, Kenny, Mike, and Todd are coming up next, and I will see you at 5 o'clock for Seahawks football, and I will also see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Hello.
The life. This is the best show we've ever done.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You really have a fantastic audience.